Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're tuned in to Columbo Chronicles at Blog Talk Radio. Follow the mover and shaker, award-winning author and host, seen on TV and radio, Rose Columbo. Every Wednesday, Rose interviews prominent experts and authors on politics and social justice. Call in and listen, or ask the guest the question at 646-564-9742. Now, here's Rose.
Hi, everyone. It's the Rose. It's Sunday evening, 8 o'clock on the West Coast, 11 o'clock on the East Coast, and wherever you're at. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. If I woke you up, you're in the right place at the right time. It's 8 o'clock, as I said, and it's July 8th, 2017. And you're listening to Columbo Chronicles Live, and I have a very important topic. Do you think that we should ban foreign pedophiles who enter into the United States who are identified as pedophiles and rapists? Because in our country, those are criminals. So if you're going to ban radicals and terrorists, why would you let anyone into this country who are known rapists and radicals because they believe that under their law they have such a right? I'm going to assume that the government, mainly the White House and Congress, have ignored the fact under the Obama regime and Clinton regime that when Obama signed the 2009 secret executive order that he was migrating millions of Christian refugees from Palestine who are linked or members of Hamas into the USA before there were Christian refugees and before allegedly he and Hillary created ISIS. They were just linked up to Hamas, or members of Hamas, the terrorist group, who later linked up with ISIS. And he signed this executive order secretly without the knowledge of the American people to migrate them into the USA, requiring the American people to pick up the tab for their transportation when he flew them in at night for 8 years, secretly, and DHS and his appointees, who were also Muslim Brotherhood links, bust them around on taxpayers' time and scattered them around the country. So many of them ended up on no-go zones and others ended up scattered around the country. And according to whistleblowers who work for the Department of Refugees, who Obama funded with $220 million of our tax dollars, which did not include the cash they were given, according to whistleblowers, and they were given passports and citizenship papers and welfare and HUD and food stamps and basically everything they needed to survive, including Obamacare, on the backs of the American people who suffered the increase costs of Obamacare because we had to pay for his migration of Muslims from the Middle East into the USA who did not have to pay up or be punished for not paying up. But he stated in his Obamacare that Americans who didn't pay up would be punished. Even if the American people couldn't afford it, even if the American people paid up against their objections and weren't provided any services, which in my opinion borders on extortion or a Ponzi scheme. But the Democrats and rhinos rubber stamped it approved and said it was the law, even though it was unlawful, illegal, unconstitutional, and unread, because all laws must be read, analyzed, approved, unless they are fair and just for the American people, and they include equality and economic soundness, and they're just. Well, Obamacare doesn't meet any of those standards. So it should have been nullified, period, based on the fact that it wasn't read and it doesn't meet the standards to make and approve laws in the United States of America. And to boot, it must also be according to the will of the majority of Americans, which Obamacare was not. Americans were sold snake oil to provide health care for the migration of foreigners into the USA under the guise of Christian refugees. And we know the majority were young, healthy men, along with some healthy young women, but very few Christian refugees, because you don't see them carrying Bibles. You don't see them praying to Jesus and God and praising God, our God, and reading our Bible or placing their hand on our Bible. The majority are praying to their prophet and reading their foreign book of ideologies that include political and religious ideologies bonded together and cannot be separated, which makes us totally different than their civilization, their laws, their culture, and their religion. We have freedom of choice here. We have freedom of religion. Everyone doesn't have to be a Christian. Everyone doesn't have to be a Mormon. Everyone doesn't have to be a atheist. Everyone doesn't have to be a believer. Everyone is an individual and has the right to choose. So, under their religion, marrying little children and having sex with children is part of their belief system under their ideologies. But in America, it's a human rights violation. It's a crime. In fact, I believe it's a felony. So it's a serious problem when the entire Democratic Congress and Senate and justices and federal judges and the White House under Obama and Clinton had knowledge that the majority were pedophiles and rapists who believed it's their right under their religion, and invited them in and paid for their flight and their walk across the border into our country. So when President Trump said that they were allowing criminals into our country, he was 100% correct, putting the women and children at high risk. They were aware that the radicals believe it's their right to rape women and children. Therefore, they willingly, knowingly, with knowledge and agreement, migrated them into our country and risked the safety and the welfare of every man, woman, and child, which they swore to protect, and protect the safety and the welfare of the American people. So, let's talk about the pedophiles. What science reveals about pedophilia, we need to know, because it appears that the world is being run by pedophiles. It's no longer a secret. And it wasn't a secret back in the day, because Senator John DeCamp wrote the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, and Patrick Montrachana wrote the book and produced the video, The Clinton Chronicles. And women like myself were leading a grassroots movement to expose that children were being removed from non-offending parents in the court system, and many were not getting their children back. They were being put in foster homes with strangers and forgotten, or they were adopted out. And according to Senator John DeCamp, some of the CPS workers, not all, but there were some who were actually taking bribes to take certain children from their parents, remove them from their parents, and hand them over to strangers for adoption. So we have a lot of problems in this country. Senator Nancy Schaefer, who exposed the problems with CPS and the children in the court system, was found dead, along with her husband, under suspicious circumstances, like all the rest of the whistleblowers and witnesses. So there is an article by Casey Schwartz, which I found to be quite interesting on the Daily Beast, and it's What Science Reveals About Pedophilia. And it's back in 2011, but nothing's really changed because the Franklin cover-up just morphed into Pizzagate. And then, of course, there's NAMBLA, who we were exposing back in the 90s through my group, Grassroots Movement Women Fight Back. And we exposed it on radio, AM, FM radio, and on cable television. And we handed the report over to the Commission on the Status of Women. Apparently, it didn't do much good. So this article says, amid the past month's disturbing revelations about child sexual abuse at Penn State and Syracuse, and the debates over morality and complicity and punishment, it can be easy to forget that pedophilia is a mental illness, and that legally it only becomes a crime when acted upon. Yet the key to preventing and treating the disorder may lie in its clinical details. When I was going to Catholic school, the priests, who are now in, many are involved in this horrendous pedophilia scandal, we were told that the children were not to be educated about sex, and basically sex was evil until you got married, and so there was that fear placed in the minds of the children at a very young age in Catholic school. Now they may have changed, I don't know, but especially since the scandal of the priests and the bishops and so forth, cardinals who have been involved in this pedophilia scandal that's been going on for quite a while now. Among psychiatrists' views on pedophilia, they differ. Some researchers liken it to an addiction, others to sexual orientation, still others put their faith in brain scans. Yet pedophilia is consistent in the criteria that define it. Now, we've also heard about Hollywood and liberal Hollywood and all that's coming out of that scene there. So there's a lot of people who are involved in pedophilia, not all actors or actresses, of course, but it is apparently a serious problem, according to credible sources. Yet pedophilia is consistent in the criteria that define it. Erotic desire directed wholly or partially towards prepubescent children, typically under the age of 13. I worked for the Sheriff's Department many years ago, and I remember receiving a report that a baby had been raped, and they didn't know if the baby was going to live because the baby was so damaged. And that just boggled my mind and stayed on my mind to this day. And I cannot understand how anyone, any man, can harm a baby or little children and walk around as if they're respectable people. And some demand respect. They come from all walks of life. They could be a family member. They could be a neighbor. They could be a friend. They could be a judge, a lawyer, a politician, a coach, school teacher. It could be anyone. It could be a stranger. And for reasons not definitively established, there are undeniably more than female pedophiles. I mean, more males than female pedophiles. By some estimates, men perpetrate as many as 94% of sexual offenses against children. So that would mean that the women are 6% of the perpetrators. Studying the disorder is complicated by the fact that in the United States laws that went into effect in the 1990s, they require therapists and physicians to report to Child Protective Services and other authorities that vary by state, anyone they believe possesses a threat to a child. The legislation trumps patient-doctor confidentiality in these circumstances. Since reporting a potential pedophile results in legal action, the law has deterred many pedophiles from voluntarily seeking psychiatric help, which troubles some researchers since the disorder can be easier to prevent than treat. And of course, we have divorce cases where they accuse the woman who accuses the husband or the children accuse the husband of being a child abuser, either abuser physically, mentally, or sexually. And there are judges who they say punish the woman because they call her either mentally disturbed or vindictive. And then they give the child to the molester in some cases. So this is what we were marching about back in the 90s and trying to get women out of jail who were trying to protect their children from the pedophiles. And they ended up in jail, who were the non-offenders. As a result, almost all research on pedophiles is based on convicted sex offenders, those who have already acted on their desires. Now, I was told that they cannot help themselves. There is no such thing as self-help for a pedophile. So it's like putting a pedophile in a daycare center or at a child's playground, and the children are immediately in danger, period. Most of whom are or have been in prison, and those who are released have also said that it only takes them like 15 minutes to find another victim once they get out. As Judith Herman, a psychologist who works with abused children at the Victims of Violence Clinic in Boston, told the Daily Beast in an email, quote, "Truthfully, I don't think the psychiatric profession has much of a clue about pedophiles. Most studies are based on the 5% who get caught, a very unrepresentative group. In other words, most pedophilia research subjects are outliers." Still, a small community of psychiatrists is working to better understand the disorder, work that could ultimately help to prevent the kind of suffering we've recently come to hear all about in All Too Much. Fred Berlin, a psychiatrist and director of the Sexual Behavior Unit at Johns Hopkins, is one of the country's best known and respected researchers on pedophilia. In his view, knee-jerk moral condemnation is beside the point. Now, you can watch a pedophile. You can see a pedophile the minute they're around children. And you should get your children away from that pedophile, even if he's a politician and you want a photo with him. We don't know why we experience the sexual desires that we do. For so long, we've looked at it as if it's simply a moral issue. People are supposed to have certain attractions, and often society said, if you experience a different kind of sexual temptation or feelings, you're not as morally worthy a person, he said. It's not someone's fault they have the condition, but it is their responsibility to do something about it. Telling me that someone has pedophilia is like someone saying about me that I'm heterosexual. It doesn't tell you whether I'm kind or cruel, introverted or extroverted, caring or not caring, intelligent or not intelligent. Berlin stresses the diversity of the pedophiles he's worked with. There are people with pedophilia that are often in denial, the way some alcoholics deny having a drinking problem, he said. Quote, there are some who believe that society should change and that we shouldn't insist that they not act on their attractions. In my experience, that's been a minority. There are others who are desperately looking for help to try and make sure they stay in control, and many of them are very pleased to learn that there's a medicine that might help. Indeed, one of the few treatments these patients can seek out is medication that lowers testosterone levels to blunt the intensity of the erotic desire. Clinicians also sometimes prescribe antidepressants, both to address coexisting psychiatric problems and for the common side effect of lowering sex drive. They also often recommend psychotherapy that involves cognitive behavioral methods to challenge patients' skewed belief systems. Judith Becker, a psychiatrist and professor at the University of Arizona, who has evaluated more than 1,000 pedophiles, conducts this kind of therapy. She commonly asks her patients to consider how old they felt when they were engaging in sexual acts with kids. For some, she says, this question has been an aha moment, helping them realize that in their involvement with children, they've actually regarded themselves as being of the same age as their victims. Isn't that interesting? During these encounters, Becker said, it's as if they slip back to a much earlier phase in their own development, or perhaps never graduated beyond it in the first place. Becker has also studied how this perception plays into the so-called grooming of victims, widely reported in the media in the wake of the Penn State scandal. Pedophiles will often spend months insinuating themselves into a child's life, taking them into ball games, showering toys and gifts on them, and becoming a part of the child's universe, to the point where a child can't recognize that a clear transgression has occurred when the interaction occurs sexually. Or if the child does feel uncomfortable, he or she may still feel entangled with the adult and fear losing the relationship. Yet, according to Becker, the elaborate process isn't exclusively about sexual gratification they expect to gain from the effort. The bonding itself is a source of satisfaction, since many pedophiles identify so strongly with children. During therapy, Becker will attempt to facilitate relationships between pedophiles and other adults, helping them gain the social skills they often lack. Now, this article goes on, but it appears to me that they're treating pedophiles, all pedophiles, the same and on the same level, when we know for a fact that there are some very dangerous pedophiles who kill children, who put them in bondage, who cage them, who lock them up in basements, who starve them, who beat them, who dump them in the ocean and do other horrific things to little children and babies. So it's much worse than this article is stating, because it is not dividing up the pedophiles, in my opinion, from what I've read so far. One of the consultations I did with a woman of legal abuse and suffered injustices with her children showed me some of the notes that the psychologist wrote down, and these are some of the things I thought were important for you to look at. Poor self-esteem. The children has poor self-esteem suddenly, or they become very aggressive with their parent, the other parent, or angry, or with their friends, or they become very shy and passive, or they become a caretaker of their younger siblings or their mother. They don't want to hurt their mother. They don't want to tell their mother, or they feel guilt and ashamed. They think it's their fault that they did something wrong to deserve it. Sometimes the child will assume the role of the wife, especially if she's living with the pedophile. Suddenly she's daddy's favorite, and he gives her gifts, and he manipulates her. And maybe she's, or he is drawing primitive drawings or sexual drawings. Maybe when they're in the bathroom, the father walks in unannounced. Maybe the pedophile decides that he's going to have his daughter sleep with him. So if you have suspicions, you need to ask your children questions. Maybe he avoids the younger children and just favors the older child, or vice versa. Maybe he's involved with same-sex males and has a tendency towards that lifestyle as well, or other inappropriate sexual behaviors with either children or adults that need to be identified through therapy. Maybe the pedophile has poor boundaries, and he watches, or she is watching, pornographic movies and seeing certain types of magazines that cause them to act out. You have to look for the inappropriate behaviors. And when the children say they don't want to be with their dad, because the majority of pedophiles are dads or boyfriends, they don't want to be with that person or neighbor or friend or relative, you really need to ask questions. Maybe they're afraid of them. There's a reason. Something's going on. And you need to try to talk to your children and get to the bottom of it, preferably take them to a counselor to get to the bottom of it. So because this is such a huge problem in America and internationally, I wanted to bring those points to the forefront and hopefully help people understand that it can happen to anyone at any time, and you mustn't be afraid to talk to your children and to get help for your children. God bless you. God bless all the children, and God bless the parents who are suffering at the hands of a pedophile who's causing issues in their family. And may God help America restore itself back to morality and principles and values, and elect men and women of good character, good Christian values in America once again. But we'll have to wait and see if that is going to happen.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure, be sure to bring your appetite.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.